This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, he did put in the time. He came in and visited us. I was able to just say hello to him and talk with him briefly. But, you know, he gave a shout-out, rightfully so, to Chris Collinsworth. He runs everything here along with Neil Hornsby. They're the big brains of the work that we do here, but there's so many talented and wonderful data analysts and really talented people who write articles on our website at PSF.com. You can find a lot of our content there as well as on our YouTube channel. But no, it was great to have him in the building, he and members of his staff. And I think he has grown as a coach. I think he's better prepared for in-game situations. We'll see how he uses the data as just another tool to help an already good coach be even better.
Solomon, I think a lot of times you'll get fans that are, you know, scared of change and coaches that are scared of change. Is there one thing in particular that I think you that is misunderstood about a switch to analytics that isn't as drastic as it may seem?
Yeah, I think there is a general concern there, you know, because people are often usually concerned or afraid of things they don't know, right? Things we call the X factors, the unknown. So it's really what they don't know about data analytics that concerns them the most. And they tend to have this fear that coaches are going to become more robotic and that they're going to be staring at some chart and some sheet with all these numbers that are sort of guiding their decisions. There's still an intuitive component to coaching. It's still a people business where coaches have to be great communicators. They have to motivate players. It's really just another tool, again, to give players and coaches an opportunity to make better decisions. And I think as a coach and the general managers, how about player evaluation as well? Don't you want a better, more full picture of a player's performance than just having to rely on the box score? We tend to go much further beyond that and give you much greater information that can be highly predictive. And so that's what we like to bring to the table.
Mike McCarthy is a West Coast offense guy. How do you think that will fit with the Cowboys personnel?
I think what it'll do is no longer will you see a guy like Amari Cooper not in the game at a critical moment. I think you'll see them using the runners as receivers. You know, they've got two really good running backs, not just one in Ezekiel Elliott, but you could use them as receivers coming out of the backfield. I think it just means getting more people involved around Dak Prescott and not have to go outside the numbers and down the field to make a living in the passing game. I think we saw that last year. I think they were constantly pressing and pushing. Now, I think they were fortunate to have a good enough offensive line where they could extend plays down the field and have a large or higher average depth of target. But you and I both know not fully sustainable, and it certainly didn't equate to wins for the Dallas Cowboys. So there are some clear ways they can improve offensively.
Solomon, with Green Bay, McCarthy didn't use a ton of play action. Is that Aaron Rodgers not wanting to use it, not wanting to turn his back to the defense? Is that a McCarthy scheme? Do you expect the Cowboys not to use a ton of it this upcoming year?
Well, let's go and take a look at a lot of the great West Coast coaches. Let's go back to Bill Walsh, who played against a lot of those 49ers. Did he use a lot of play action? The West Coast offense inherently is not predicated upon, you know, running the football or the illusion of being able to run it. It's really about quick rhythm, timing, getting the ball out quick, getting five eligible receivers out and have the quarterback be the distributor, like a good point guard. Remember the days of Joe Montana? Five guys out, two wide receivers, one tight end, F and eight, fullback and halfback, also out in the route combination. And then it started to evolve. Three wide receivers, one left back, where you had 11 personnel. And then you start putting four wide receivers and one back, no tight end. You know, we just started going crazy, and all these other offenses came into the league. You know, but the West Coast offense has always been about the quarterback as distributor and not necessarily using play action. We've seen it work. I mean, this is one of the true systems that's been around for more than 25 years, 30 years, and Andy Reid is still using it, even though he has added so many more wrinkles, I think, than anyone else.
Does Dak fit that in terms of anticipation, reading defenses, and accuracy?
You know, we saw him make huge improvements in 2019 in all those areas you just mentioned. I think if you would ask me that question after week one in 2018, I'd go, well, I don't know. But after what I saw this year, yes, I can honestly. I think what we need to understand about him is that he is a professional. The way he carries himself, he takes his job and his vocation very seriously. You could tell he works at his craft. And, you know, he understands footwork, the hips, and the alignment of his hips in terms of ball location and ball placement. I still think it's a work in progress. I think he's got to continue to thrive. And at the end of the day, that's where I think Mike McCarthy will make his greatest stride. He's always been good at grooming quarterbacks, whether it was Rich Gannon in Kansas City, whether it was Brett Favre, whether it was Aaron Rodgers early in his career. This guy has a quarterback school that he uses it to help quarterbacks understand those fundamentals, footwork, hip alignment, and accuracy, and ball placement, and timing, and release point. I'm telling you, he's phenomenal in this area. I think it's going to be like a marriage made in heaven. I think it's going to work for Dak Prescott because I think he has better days ahead of him.
Former NFL player, current analyst, and with Pro Football Focus, Solomon Wilcott joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. You have the choice of picking two of the three, Dak, Amari, Byron, for the Cowboys to re-sign as free agents. Which order would you go in?
You already know it's going to be Dak, and then I think it's Amari. I like Byron. I like Byron Jones. I think when they drafted Byron, it was one of those things, we don't know where we're going to play him, but we know he's a good athlete, he's a good player, and he's a good citizen. They tried him at safety. I don't think he was physical enough with enough tenacity to play at that position. I think he's really done well at corner. He's been the most consistent corner that you've had in a long time in the Cowboys secondary. I think he's worth keeping. But can you survive the loss of Byron Jones? Absolutely. Would he find a market for his services? Oh, you bet. He's going to get paid. He's going to get paid by someone out there because he's good enough. He's more than good enough. Is he a great perennial shutdown Cobo corner? I'm not going to put him in that category. But you don't see him getting beat a whole lot, and you don't see him drawing penalty flags a whole lot. You can see him in the right place at the right time, getting really good pass defenses. I think he's more than reliable, and I think he's a guy that you can build a really good championship defense around.
Solomon, don't we have to look at the backup corners before deciding how replaceable Byron is? Chido Awuzie with a down year. Jordan Lewis didn't get on the field until later on. Don't we have to look at the replacement number one corners before letting Byron walk?
I think it's different. I think you got to understand, team building says this, particularly our matrix here at PFL. You don't need one good corner. You need three. You need one, you need two, and then you need a good slot corner. How many snaps do you think you played about your overall defensive snaps? How many times do you think you played with three corners on the field? I guarantee it's going to be closer, more than 75% of the time. So all of them are starters. All of them are equal because the quarterback determines who's number one because he's got to target the weakest link. So, therefore, you can't have a weak link.
Mm.
All three of them got to be able to hold a week in and week out, okay? Particularly when you get against the best teams in the postseason, they're not just going to have one good receiver. They're going to have two or three guys that are going to challenge you. And one weak corner will lose you a game.
Ooh.
I've been around football for 30 years. I remember Dick LeBeau used to tell us there's two positions that get you beat faster than any other, quarterback and cornerback. It's because if a cornerback makes a mistake, the official's standing in the end zone holding up both arms. So now you got to look at the totality of all three. That's why keeping Byron Jones is important, because then you got to go to work and say, okay, who's next? Because if you let him walk, then I think in reality you're playing with nothing.
Solomon, who are some of the teams in the NFL who are the best at applying what you guys do over a Pro Football Focus, and who are some of the ones who don't? Jason Garrett told us in our weekly interview, we don't look at in-game win probability. We imagine they didn't do a ton with analytics based off that statement. Who are some of the teams in the NFL who are at the forefront of this and those that are still trailing?
Well, I think Jason Garrett answers that the latter question for you, right? But, you know, I think they'll be okay. Listen, the Cowboys, they use our stuff more than Jason let on. I think the team that does the best, I think clearly this year, and there are a lot of them, you know, but I think the best is at the top was the Baltimore Ravens. I think they leverage their understanding of how to use the analytics to score more points, to garner more possessions, to take fourth down opportunities, to convert it into first down. That means they got more possessions, which means it yielded more points, because that's what the matrix shows. If you went on a playground with a group of kids and you threw a football out there and you gave them the rules of the game, you know, they would get to third down and then they would use that third down. And, you know, you already told them they get four downs, they get 10 yards. They would look at you and say, well, can we go for it on fourth down? You would probably try to convince them, no, you're supposed to punt. But they would be like fighting and arguing with you. Well, that makes no sense. You said I had four downs to get the 10 yards. I stand a better chance of getting 10 yards on four downs than on three, and they would be right. But we've been conditioned to believe, nope, fourth downs for punting. Well, go ahead and let the losers punt every time on fourth down. Mm-hmm. You got to have a plan for fourth down, and if you plan for it, you'd be surprised how many times you can convert it, because the defense has already been celebrating, thought they were done after three. And so Baltimore figured that out early. They scored more points than any other team this year. Now, you know, they didn't do too well on fourth down in the postseason, but at least they got there.
Solomon, when you look at this weekend, it's passing versus running in the AFC, offense versus defense in the NFC. What are some of the things that stand out to you this weekend?
Yeah, I think this Tennessee Titans team is one you got to pay attention to, because they have an offensive and defensive line that will beat you up. You know, the Titans' offensive line is one that needs and deserves a lot of recognition. I know Derrick Henry is getting a lot of the celebratory praise, and in some ways it's justified. You know, there was once upon a time in this league where the offense always went through the tailback. The running back was always the first overall pick in the draft, because that's how offenses were built, right? To go through the tailback. And now we know that offenses go through the quarterback. The passing league, he's the distributor, and now the first overall pick almost always is a quarterback. Well, the Titans are flipping the script on that, but the real hero here is the offensive line. You tell me if they're going to have a great game, I'll tell you if Derrick Henry's going to get a lot of yards, because what he does is predicated on those five guys up front. Now, they're going up against a defense that is not great against the pass. Let's face it, and they did beat the Kansas City Chiefs early. I think the Chiefs have got to do to the Titans what the Titans did, you know, really to the Ravens. I think you've got to be able to score early and get a lead on the Tennessee Titans, and they'll see if they stick with that run game when they're down 14-0. You like the 49ers just because I just think they're good on both sides of the ball. And defensively, they're so good at rushing the quarterback as well as coverage on the back end. So these are going to be two really good games. Three teams are led by their quarterback. One team is led by the tailback.
You know, the way you just describe NFL team building could make us think that maybe the Cowboys should not have given Zeke Elliott all that money. How do you feel about that and the death of the running back, or was that way too premature?
Well, you know, our PFF matrix show that maybe how the 49ers do it is really smart. Okay, you got three guys. Well, you ain't giving a whole lot of money to. I think Coleman's getting some money. Jared McKinnon, he's not even playing. He's got a good free agent contract. Mostert and Breida, they're not getting a ton of money. But they do spread it out over those three guys. In fact, among our top 10 greatest running backs in 2019 in terms of overall production. Only three are operating on a non-rookie deal. Ezekiel Elliott is one of them, but yet he ranked in our top 10 in terms of overall production. Carlos Hyde is another. Mark Ingram is the other. Todd Gurley didn't make our top 10, but all the other seven are not currently operating on a rookie contract. Christian McCaffrey, chief among them. Okay, so it shows that you could get production out of guys that didn't necessarily have to be first-round guys, and they can still get it done and be highly productive, particularly when they have those young, fresh legs.
Last question, Solomon Wilcots, Pro Football Focus, former NFL safety, played in Cincinnati. How do you feel as a former Bengal and as a current analyst about Joe Burrow to Cincy at number one?
I can tell you right now, I've never seen a man or a kid answer every question that you may have of him as we go through this long process between now and draft day, and they'll try to dissect Joe Burrow and take apart what he's accomplished. He answered every single week, every single time you had a question against the best competition you could throw at him in the biggest games, in the biggest moments, on the biggest stage. Oklahoma, 8 touchdown passes. Are you kidding me? He took it in the chops against Clemson and bounced back up only to shred them up. They have one of the best defenses and one of the best defense coordinators in all of college football. So, and his ball placement is impeccable. 60 touchdown passes. Are you kidding me? If the Bengals don't rush that card up to the podium to give it to Roger Goodell, I will boycott my beloved Bengals from here to eternity.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.